As the scripture was being read this morning, there was kind of a hush in your hearts. And I think that that means that you've experienced what it means to trust in the wisdom of God, that in your heart you understand what that is. I really respect this congregation for that. What is your wildest dream? If you just, you know, if somebody said to you, just if you had the resources, if you had the support, if you weren't the nincompoop that you were, if you could just, what would you really like to be and do? If you had the internal and the external support, what for you would be living fully? What do you believe is God's purpose for any community of faith and for this congregation? As we listen to this scripture, I would like you to imagine and also think, which is different parts of us that are mixed, about what the wisdom of God and the power of God, which look foolish and weak and, oh, well, that's not going to work. It looks weak. What can you imagine and think about your life and about this congregation? The scriptures do not teach us independence or autonomy. That isn't a natural condition for human beings. But it also doesn't teach sort of being the helpless maiden being rescued out of a terrible situation, not being passively rescued from danger and your own ignorance, and kept in a frozen, saved state where, as men say to women, I don't need your ideas, just do what I tell you to do. That is not what God says to us. And that is not what all men say to women either. It's not just be quiet, don't have any ideas, don't try to contribute anything, just be quiet and do what I tell you to do. Sometimes God tells us that, but that is not the constant state of ourselves or of this congregation. The wisdom, the foolishness, and the weakness of God are to receive you with mercy. That is the most foolish thing that you can imagine. You know how we are. You know your heart. We should not be received with mercy. We need the firmest discipline possible. We need punishment and improvement and discipline. And God does. He is not a namby-pamby. You don't just run over him. But his foolishness is to receive you with grace and mercy and love. He's just so happy to see you. You're going to cause a lot of trouble. He should be so happy to see you. But he's happy to see you, and he receives you with mercy. He receives you and myself with mercy into a merciful and peaceful relationship with him and with the community of faith. And by extension, we also know that God is working mercifully with all of human life and in all creation, the creation of flora and fauna, the plants and the animals, that God is also working with mercy. Dependence on God and intentional living, which means we choose, we have purpose, lead us not into passivity and childishness, childlikeness, but not childishness. but growth in maturity. If God receives us with grace, it sets us free to begin to grow and to mature. The greatest gift of God is God's presence, and the second is like unto it, the presence of God's community. The most wonderful thing that could happen to someone is to live within this community. And I'm speaking specifically, we can't be too the worldwide, this community, and experience the life with God. When we think about the ministry of this community, we think about the food cupboard. That is a really good thing that we do. We think about, I think we have about a dozen, 10 to 12 ministries that this church supports. A lot of them are local. But the most wonderful thing that this community can do is not to do something for them, but to receive them into this community. If someone can walk into this community and experience life with you, they will find what they are looking for. I'm sure that's true with any faith community. People do not know who they are. People do not know about how to live their lives. People do not know how to raise their children, and I'm including myself. People do not know how to treat older people. People do not know how to treat difficult people. People don't know how to receive praise or criticism. But here in this community, we are in the process of becoming people who can be like that. And the most wonderful thing that, I know we talk about going out of the community, and that is, it isn't just huddling in a bomb shelter together, but the life of this community is the foolishness of God. It is the power of God that could transform my heart, your home, your work, your school, the street that you live on. Oh, that's very foolish. That's a foolish plan. But that is the power of God that we have been given. We have to know how to work with disappointments, lack of understanding, hurts, angers, blockheads. That's in 27 when it talks about foolish people, it's the blockheads. And mistakes, sins, we have to face and deal with things. And we do need leaders to help us facilitate these kinds of processes, help people not get stuck. But everyone can rejoice in God's wisdom within such a group. And the benefit of this congregation and any congregation of faith is that you do it for the H of it, not because it might be effective or this, just because that's the way that you live. That's the way God's heart opened. When God received you, and I think most of you have had that experience. If you haven't, then that's waiting for you. When God opens his heart and you're like, oh, and you walk in, you experience God's true character, or you begin to experience it. And that's just because that's what it is. That's how God is. That's how this community is. How much do you trust the other people here? This is the foolishness that will create the power that this community needs. You know, you and I, we need to get help for the way that we react to other people because of experiences we've had in the past. So when somebody says something to us, we're reacting to something that happened long ago rather than the people and the situation that's right in front of us. We handicap ourselves. We need to get help for that. We need to get help for the defensiveness that we have when we're hurt or we're angry. And in the past, we didn't know how to deal with it. And so we came out with either pride or aggression, or else we got very small and like, oh, if that's what it is, I'm just going to go home and take my basketball with me. We've done that in the, you and I have done that in the past. We need to get beyond that so that we can see the people that we're with now. And we need to get help for the insecurity that makes you and I act with pride and aggressiveness. When we're not living in the heart of God, pride and fear are the defenses. We think that's being strong. I'm not an idiot. I'm going to protect myself. That's the pride. That's the wisdom. That's the strength of a person. I'm going to protect myself. The foolishness of God and the weakness of God are stronger than the ways that you and I try to set up justice and prosperity around us. People mean well, but they don't take into account the weakness and malice of the human heart. And we cannot create the life that humans long for and were created for. What are you waiting to receive from God in order to live fully? What are you waiting for someone to see in you, someone to call out of you? What is it? Can you see that in each other? Can you see what other people have that's so precious? What if all the committees and the teams of this congregation were dissolved and we got in a big circle and we saw each other just the way that we were? And we said, oh, I think that you'd be really good at this. Would you consider doing that? What if we saw each other, we loved each other, we trusted each other? How would we worship together, live together, worship together in the foolishness and the weakness of God? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.